Hello and welcome to another thought for the day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come this morning around your word, we ask you to thrill us once more with the truths of your promises to us, promises that all find their yes and amen in the living, risen Lord Jesus. And so we pray that if we have woken this morning and we are feeling a little down, if our expectancy is lacking somehow this day, that you would lift our eyes to the hill from whence comes our help, and that is the risen Christ. So help us to, we pray, to walk in his strength, with his courage, in his spirit this day. Amen. So we're up to Genesis chapter 17. And we're looking at God's promise, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abraham fell face down. And God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." So immense promises are brought to Abraham, now Abraham's attention. Let's deal with that first of all. Abraham means exalted father. Abraham probably means father of many. So God changes his name to reflect the promise. And in Christ, you have a new name that bestows upon you all of the promises that he has made certain for you. What a glorious truth that is. So if I were to ask you then, who is this passage about? I wonder how you would answer. You might answer in various ways. But let me tell you this morning, this passage is about you. If you are a believer in Christ, this is about you. You see, Peter had to say that on the day of Pentecost, didn't he? When his listeners were aware that they were the crowd who had crucified the Messiah who God had sent to them, he had to command them to repent. And then he said, "Believe in Christ so that you will receive the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, all whom the Lord calls to himself." And I want to say to you this morning, the promise is to you. So we need to clarify this a little, because it's obvious that in the new covenant, we are not promised land, or are we? More about that in a minute. And in scripture, we see in actual fact, there are 4 ways that the seed of Abraham, the phrase, is used. There are sometimes promises made to his direct physical descendants, the children of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac, and their descendants, all of whom were circumcised. So they're all brought into the covenant of circumcision. But sometimes it refers to the chosen seed, Israel, the other name for Jacob. So the descendants of Jacob, not Esau, Isaac, not Ishmael. These are referred to as the special seed of Abraham, the chosen seed. And if we flash forward into the New Testament, we see Paul talking about the fact that sometimes when that word is used, it's in the singular, not in the plural. It's seed, not seeds. And in that case, Paul says, it's talking about Christ, the special seed of Abraham. And then fourthly, if we refer to Galatians 3 and verses 7 to 9, Paul has this to say. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So what is God doing here? He's bringing his promises in covenant to Abraham. We'll see how that plans out a little later in the chapter. But he's also making his promises to you, because Abraham is the figurehead, if you like, of all those who have faith in the unseen promises of God. We've already seen that Abraham believed that he would have a son, an actual son, not just by a slave, but by his wife, Sarah. And that even though she was 10 years younger than him and he was at this stage 99 years old, God would make that happen. And he believed God, and we're told it was credited to him as righteousness. And so it is for us. We who believe the unseen promises of God, even though they are not yet visible to us, even though they deal with matters of the heart, even though they are spiritual, not physical, we, Paul says, are the inheritors of this glorious promise of covenant, and that God will be our God. We are the inheritors of the indication by God that we can walk faithfully before him and be blameless. And we know how that happens. In Abraham's time, he had not seen that come about. It would come about through his one descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would make it possible by his death, his perfect sacrifice of the sinless life that he lived on the cross, his resurrection life, his ascension into heaven, the pouring out of his spirit in fulfillment of these great promises that from Abraham, God would bring all nations, men and women from all nations, to himself and make them by faith, in faith, the children of Abraham. The promise is to you. Walk in the light of that promise today and praise God for all that it brings you. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we want to feel the extent of this incredible promise of grace, that you bestow upon us a kingdom that Abraham could only see in part, a deeper, better, vaster promise than all that Abraham was promised. And we see that fulfilled for us in Christ. You even say to us, Lord Jesus, that the meek are blessed because one day they will inherit not just the land, but they will inherit the earth. The new creation will be ours in the returning of Jesus our Saviour. So we pray, lift our hearts, make us to rejoice, help us to know him who died for us, who rose for us, who lives for us this day. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, we honour you. Amen.